With your latest news, I'm April Cummings. We are awaiting the release of the Caribbean Financial Action Task Force fourth round mutual evaluation report on the Cayman Islands. Radio Cayman's Andrew Harris has more.
The Caribbean Financial Action Task Force, or the CFATF, is an FATF-styled regional body comprising of 27 states in the Caribbean Basin and Central and South America, who have agreed to implement common countermeasures to address the problem of money laundering, terrorist financing, and the financing of the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Government officials have said in the past they have a continued commitment to international standards in the fight against all three. In the forward of the 2015 National Risk Assessment, Chairman of the Anti-Money Laundering Steering Group, the Honorable Attorney General, noted the jurisdiction at the time had undergone three mutual evaluations by the CFATF in 1995, 2002, and 2007, and was preparing for the fourth round of the CFATF mutual evaluations in December 2017. Based on revised Financial Action Task Force 40 recommendations of February 2012 and the methodology for the assessing technical compliance with the FATF recommendations and the effectiveness of AML/CFT systems of February 2013, the methodology. The public release of the fourth round evaluation report is likely to result in some legislative changes and additional development of the Financial Crimes Unit. Andrell Harris, Radio Cayman News.
The hunt is on after two people are stabbed near a Mary Street bar Saturday morning. The Royal Cayman Islands Police Service says shortly after 4 a.m., a man and woman were involved in an altercation with a group of men as they left the Georgetown bar. During the fight, they were both stabbed and taken to the hospital in private cars where they were treated for non-life-threatening injuries and released. Police have asked anyone with information about the attack to call the Georgetown Criminal Investigation Department. The number is 949-4222. More than 200 surveyors, architects, contractors, bankers, and realtors attended the fourth biannual RICS Property and Construction Conference at the Marriott Friday. Infrastructure Minister the Honorable Joey Hugh spoke to the group about the Georgetown Revitalization Project.
This government, and in fact the previous administration, has been committed to this exercise. We've spent the last several years putting in the roadwork infrastructure. We continue with that in this current budget.
Mr. Hugh says when he took up his ministerial position, he decided that before the project moved forward, government needed to bring in a town manager. And now that position has been filled, they can start moving funds being used for road networks into the actual revitalization of the city center.
In the past, we have spent $5 to $7 million, I would say, in the last several budgets on the road works under the Georgetown Revitalization Initiative. And we will probably see, not in the very early stages, certainly probably not in the next budget, but as time goes on, we'll see those numbers continue to maintain anywhere from $3 to $5 million going into the actual efforts.
Audio courtesy of CIG TV. Members of the Seven Mile Beach Business Watch, hotel and condo managers and other stakeholders turn out today for an RCIPS Department of Environment seminar on turtle-friendly lighting.
Through our 20 years of Department of Environment sea turtle nesting beach monitoring, we have identified artificial lighting on the beach as the most important threat to sea turtle populations and their future survival.
That's DOE Research Officer Janice Blumenthal, who says by using a new type of lighting in the areas that have a high saturation of turtle nests, homes, hotels, and condos can prevent baby hatchlings from heading away from the sea to their deaths. RCIPS Acting Sergeant Jonathan Kern says an incident just like that on West Bay Road prompted him to get involved and work to bring people together here today.
Cars had just driven over them because they couldn't see them. So there were all these tiny turtles across the road, and I thought, you know what? We've got a community here that can come together and actually do something about this.
He says one of the big misconceptions is that crime would increase if the usual bright lights were replaced with the special lighting.
This is the first question we get is, will it impact the safety or the security of the site? And the data that we get from the Florida State Attorney's Office is that no, it won't. It doesn't affect it. They've studied this. That quote is from 2014. They legislated well before that to introduce this lighting, and they found no subsequent increase in crime.
If you'd like to find out more about turtle-friendly lighting, visit the DOE website or give them a call. A young turtle rescued and nursed back to health has released back into the wild. Ebb, the juvenile green turtle, was found floating off Crystal Harbor, weak and sick in November. suffering from a number of medical issues. Slowly, the turtle recovered as DOE staffers and their family members volunteered their own time to feed him. Eventually, Ed was able to feed independently. The DOE released him on Friday, and he swam off, quote, very strongly into South Sound. More than 200 women attended the Honoring Women Month luncheon at the Kimpton Friday. The event was hosted by the Family Resource Center. And the keynote speaker, Portfolio of Civil Service Chief Officer Gloria McField Nixon, who stressed the importance of education, highlighting the fact that government offers many free education opportunities to staff.
50% of our graduates who've come away with their associate's degree in public administration have been women.
She says employees also have access to free online education, the same training available to the UK Civil Service.
So we are very specific about making sure that women can continue to grow within our organization while balancing their home life requirements.
Ms. McField Nixon says it's also very important for government to provide a safe working environment, and that's why it's adopted anti-harassment and whistleblower protection policies so people can feel free to report wrongdoing. You have another opportunity to explore the newest exhibition at the National Gallery, Cross Cultures. The second lunchtime lecture at the gallery is tomorrow at 12:30. The gallery's Jessica Ebanks tells Radio Cayman curator Simon Tatum will explore the newest exhibition in detail.
So it features 42 artists. It's a multi-site exhibition between here in Grand Cayman at the National Gallery, as well as satellite venues in the Sister Islands. And it also features an award component too. So we'll be giving away 2 awards to 2 different artists featured in the show.
She says Mr. Tatum will explain what the goals are for the project and share information about key works on display.
What they can expect if they attend is to, you know, learn something new about Caymanian art. You know, a lot of this work was created just for this exhibition, so they'll see some new artwork, new exciting works. They'll support our local artists.
The event is free. Reservations are not necessary. For more information, call 945-8111. The Cayman Islands Meals on Wheels program is looking for volunteers for their annual coin drive. CIGTV's Donna Bush has more.
The aim is to raise money to feed housebound and disabled seniors throughout the Grand Cayman. The coin drive will take place next week, Friday and Saturday. That's the 22nd and 23rd of March across 30 pre-approved high-traffic locations. Meals on Wheels is asking all service groups, corporate teams and individuals to sign up for 2 hours of those dates to volunteer their time to assist in collecting coins and donations from the community. Now, interested volunteers can sign up at mealsonwheels.ky, or you can call them at 769-1974 for more information.
Thank you, Donna. 16-year-old Jonathan Badassi plays his way to the Big Apple. He was one of 6 Caymanian pianists who recently took part in the Cayman Art Festival's newest piano camp program with celebrated Romanian pianist Matei Varga. To culminate the camp, the students showcased their skills during a concert competition at the Georgetown Library on Thursday night. At the end of the evening, Badassi was awarded a 2-week scholarship at the International Keyboard Institute and Festival in New York. He's been playing piano since he was just 6 years old and tells Radio Cayman he's delighted at the opportunity. Badassi, by the way, is the 2018 Butterfield Musician of the Year recipient. He's currently working on his associates at Trinity College London. That's your latest local news, and we'll leave you now with Radio Cayman's financial news and Shanda Gallego.
The closing prices of local stocks are provided by Cayman National Securities. CUC's common stocks closed at $15.19. Cayman Water Company closed at $13.53. Green Light Reinsurance Company closed at $11.18. And Cayman National Corporation closed at $4.05. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 65 points to close at 25,914. The NASDAQ up 25 points to close at 7,714. The S&P 500 was up 10 points to close at 2,832, and the Financial Times 100 Index in London up 70 points to close at 7,299. The 3 most active issues in New York today were General Electric up 2.41% to close at $10.20, Aurora Cannabis Inc. up 3.43% to close at $9.94, and Neo Inc. up 0.70% to close at $5.75. In commodities, gold closed at $1,303.50, silver at $15.32, platinum at $832.60, and oil at $59.02 per barrel. In foreign currencies, the euro closed at 1.13, pound sterling at 1.32, yen 111.41, Canadian dollar 1.33, and the Jamaican dollar closed at 124.48. In other financial news, OGA has advised Cayman National Corporation on its response to the tender offer by Republic Bank Trinidad and Tobago Limited to acquire up to 74.99% of its issued share capital from Cayman National shareholders. Details from Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller.
The OGA team working on the project says they are incredibly pleased to work on the first transaction of this kind in the Cayman Islands and to have been able to assist Cayman National with such a, quote, significant milestone in its history. The offer period expired on March 8th, and the settlement of consideration to Cayman National shareholders was initiated on March 13th. Cayman National is one of the few equity issuers listed on the Cayman Islands Stock Exchange and is the largest financial services-based company in the Cayman Islands. OGA says tendering shareholders received $6.25 per share under the terms of the offer, representing a premium of $3.25 to the closing price per Cayman National share on the last trading date before the announcement of the offer. OGA says completion of the transaction required the approval of government and regulatory authorities spanning the Cayman Islands, Isle of Man, Dubai, Trinidad and Tobago, and Barbados. Republic Bank Trinidad and Tobago Barbados Limited is a wholly owned subsidiary, Republic Financial Holdings Limited. OGA says before this transaction, Republic Financial Holdings Limited and its subsidiaries had assets in excess of $9.4 billion U.S. dollars and equity of $1.4 billion with more than 117 branches across the Caribbean and Ghana. Reporting for Radio Cayman's Financial News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
And that is your financial report here on Radio Cayman. I'm Shanda Gallego.